illusion, being human. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today, the great illusion, being human. Just what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to have human thoughts, to have a human body, to have a human life? What does it mean to live in a world where one is human? What is a human being? That's a good question. And we kind of think that a human being is the ultimate, the ultimate, the ultimate. A human being is the most wonderful, most glorious, most fantastic experience that anyone could ever have. Why, just imagine, we have this human body made up of cells, made up of organs and actions and functions, so fantastic, so glorious. We marvel at its majesty. We marvel at its creativity. We marvel how wonderful it is. And we realize that it is gloriously made, certainly not by the hand of man, but by the hand of the divine. Now, this is quite something. It's quite something to be gloriously made like this. Quite something to be human. Quite something to be divine. But we're talking about being human right now. The great illusion of being human. Now, 1 minute, we're a child, another young adult, another adult, and 1 minute we're here on this planet Earth, and another minute we're dust. We travel through all these cycles, and it's a marvelous series of cycles. Our archaeology tells us stories about the life of animals and creatures and the development of the Earth and the expansion and the retrogression of the Earth, all the things that are going on. And then we think, here we have this body, this great illusion, the human body. And it is marvelous. Scientists have not been able to create anything similar to it. Oh, they come close, but they have not been able to create the allness that the human body encompasses. The physical body, the cells of the body, the muscles, all the way the body functions. The mind that the body uses to carry out its activities, the mind that the body is a functioning for. The body is the temple of the mind. It's the vehicle of the mind. Yes. And yet, we have studied so little of the mind. The mind is still a great illusion to us. And we have studied so little of the body. The body is sort of a mystery to us. The body is constantly changing. And yet, every single cell, if a scientist were to take a single cell and put it in a petri dish and nourish it, it could live forever as a single cell, not advancing, not declining, living just as a single cell in its ideal form. Now, there's no purpose for that. For it's only when the cells are together, forming a body or forming an activity, that they are useful. For a human body that's in a person who is a vegetable, a person whose mind is not available to them, is not a very beneficial thing. It has to be manipulated or at least helped by outside forces. But the human being is something that I present today and science presents today and philosophers present today. The human body, the human being, is knowable. It is knowable. It is knowable, and yet it is ever-changing. It is knowable, and it is forever new. It is forever expressing a newness. What your body was yesterday and what your body is today is two very different things. Oh, people will recognize your body. They'll say, oh, that's Herb, or that's Ellen, or that's Sylvia, or that's Ingeborg, or that's Rex, or that's the little love. Oh, dogs, animals don't have human bodies. No, but they have bodies that are functioning much the same way that human bodies do. All of the animals have within them the same attitudes that the human body has. Now, we do research on animals. We use mice to study what goes on in the body. We say a mouse is very similar to a human body. You ever imagine that? A mouse is very similar to a human body. A pig is very similar to a human body. Well, why not? They're all made out of the same wonderful divine design. Oh, they may vary in appearances somewhat, but generally speaking, they have all the facilities that the human body has. And the differentiation comes in how the mind is being exercised, utilized, visualized, operated on in the human body, as it is in the animal body, or the fish, or the snail, or the cricket, or whatever creature we want to talk about. But the great illusion is the human body, and all these creatures also. And we have tried to do things with creatures. We have bred dogs to bring out finer features in them, or to bring out other features of other animals in the dog. And we have found that the wolf dog, or the dog that has 57 varieties in it, is an interesting experience, because dogs naturally interbreed with other dogs, and humans interbreed with other humans. Now, if all human beings in any different area were to remain pristine, if all the people in Europe, in Germany, were to remain in Germany and never have anything to do with people outside of Germany, all the people in Africa were to remain in Africa and never have anything to do with people outside of Africa, if all the people in Japan were just to remain in Japan, in their island, and have nothing to do with anybody outside of their island, they would form a people and a culture that are quite unique. And to a large degree, this has been the case, because there hasn't been too much interaction between cultures in the early years on a large scale, primarily because they did not have the means for traveling back and forth. However, sometimes it happened, and it did happen. And when it happened remarkably. It happened remarkably when the army goes into a foreign country, and the men in the army have relationships with the women of the country, and the women bear the children that are of these men and of themselves. And then those children later interrelate with children in their own community, or with ones who have related with men from other communities. And they are somewhat different. They have different physiological functioning. That is not physiological functioning, but appearances. They look like people from the countries that their parents had come from. And that is an interesting aspect, because that merely re-illumines the great illusion that the human body is. The human body is always in a state of flux. It's always in a state of change. It's not the ideal. It's good, but it's not the ideal. The ideal is that which is never changing. The ideal is the body which is eternal, everlasting. It is the concept. Now, can we think about the ideal human being, the ideal human body? Can we think of the ideal human body, and do we call that an illusion? That we call an illusion. Isn't that interesting? The very reality we call an illusion, because we do not see the ideal human body. We do not see the ideal brain, the ideal physical functioning of the muscles and the cells. We see how they can function, how they do function, and how they are functioning, and we say, that's quite interesting. We see how they do interreact, and how they do slightly change according to what their needs may be. And we call this all sorts of terms, all sorts of things of change. But looking back to the ideal of the human being, the ideal human body, that is what we call the illusion, because we so seldom have seen the ideal. Have you seen the ideal hand? Have you seen the ideal mind? Have you seen the ideal brain? Have you seen the ideal heart? Have you seen the ideal foot? Have you seen the ideal organs? Have you seen the ideal aspects of the body, wherever, however they may exist? And essentially, no. We do not see them because we have had them change. We have had them interact. We have had them be. But yet, there is a similarity. There is a similarity in the human. There is a similarity in all mankind. Women are women and men are men. Children are children. They go through the growing up stages. And we find that all of these things are quite interesting. Yet, who has the ideal hand? We look at a hand and we say, oh, that's the hand of an artist. That's the hand of a poet. That's the hand of a woman. That's the hand of a man, strong, powerful. That's the hand of a pugilist. That's the hand of a fighter. That's the hand of a farmer who is very gristly and very strong and very gnarly because he's working in the soil with his hands. We say, hands vary greatly, and yet all hands that are what are called normal hands have five fingers. All hands that are normal hands have a palm and have the length to the fingers, and the fingers are usable in their wonderful functioning. But who has the ideal finger? A doctor is considered to have beautiful fingers. A doctor has touch. A doctor can touch the patient, and with the doctor's feeling of sensitivity for his field, he says to the patient, there, there, it'll all be all right now. It's coming along just fine. He gives the patient encouragement to express its original purity and integrity. Now, the doctor may not realize this to the fullest extent of those words, but that's what he's doing. That's his bedside manner. He's touching the patient, and in touching the patient, he's sending his vibrations of love, of joy, of expectation, of confidence, of peace into that patient. And the patient instantly responds. The patient feels great because the doctor touched them. And the nurses are known for having a touch. A nurse goes in and holds the patient's hand. And what is happening? They are sending into the patient the feeling of peace and love and healing. Now, if the patient always were whole and perfect, they wouldn't need that or want that or have that, because they would be fulfilled. They would be whole and perfect, and there would be no need to have the healing touch. There would be no need for this sensitivity. But yet, in the hands of many are these things. Now, people take dogs into hospitals, and especially the aged or the terminal people, and they let them hold the dog, or they let the dog make up to the person, because the dog senses the person's need. And the dog gives that person a feeling of love, a feeling of belonging, and the person just coos and bills over the dog, says, "Oh, you lovely little thing." And what's happening? There is a change taking place in that person. That person who was ill and had a problem that nothing seemed to be able to help very well, when that puppy dog came into their arms, when that dog came into their presence, they seemed to draw out of them some original purity and integrity. They seemed to draw out of them their magic and their wonder, the ever-changing great illusion that the body is. And in drawing this out of them, they drew out something greater than their humanity, greater than that which is obvious, that which is seen. And there is a hidden, invisible activity going on there that's saying to them, "Oh, all is right, all is fantastic, all is glorious." And in this saying and in this being, the great illusion keeps changing. It keeps rearranging itself. It keeps going into other states of attitudes, other states of consciousness, other states of being. And so the great illusion is being investigated, you might say, by those who understand how it can be touched, how it can be reverted, how it can be brought back to its original purity and integrity. All of our life, if we spent all of our time on that sacred ground of being human and knowing how to revert back to our original purity and integrity, we might call that our divinity, that's all right, but we revert back to our original purity and integrity. And as we do that, what happens to us? As we do that, we're always changing. The great illusion keeps coming up with a new illusion, a new aspect, a new expression. And this is all good. The body is not divine. The body is not sacred. The body is not something that we cannot fool with Mother Nature. The body is always doing that by itself. The body is always fooling with Mother Nature. When people are born ill and then someone does some beautiful thing to revert them to the original purity and integrity, and they are able to return in wholeness and be in wholeness, we don't call that bad. And yet we're fooling with Mother Nature. The great illusion is something that is designed to be fooled with. It's designed to be fooled with because it's designed to revert to its original purity and integrity. It's designed to demonstrate that being human is a state of constantly becoming aware of something greater than we are expressing. We're every man, woman, child, every being, every animal, every creature, every living substance, every animal, mineral, vegetable, it doesn't matter what, has an original aspect to it. Its original purity and integrity, it has that. It has that, and it may express that if it chooses. But if it chooses, it is going to leave behind all of the great illusion that it had before. And when it arrives at that state of awareness of the passing of the great illusion, it will be like people who are with great charisma. You talk with people who have great charisma and you don't see their human body. You don't see their bones and their structure. You don't see their skin or your facial impressions or anything. All you see is that original purity and integrity, that charisma within them, that charisma that is so profound, so magnificent, so wonderful, that you are just begeistered. You just look at them with such delight, with such magic, with such charm, and you say, wow, wow. And no other words seem to speak as well to say what you are thinking, feeling, and acting toward that person. We, each one of us, has the privilege of developing our own charisma. We have the privilege of returning to our original purity and integrity, which is our original human beingness. And as we return to that original purity and integrity, as we look at ourselves and love ourselves unconditionally and beautifully and wholly and fully, then we begin to develop the charisma, which is that which never changes, which is that which is our original purity and integrity, which is that which holds people in its sway, because people say, how glorious, how great. Theoretically, a person who has a magical charisma can do no wrong. A person who has a magical charisma is just a ball of love, a bundle of love, a bundle of joy, a bundle of peace, a bundle of truth, a bundle of life. And this stands true for all of us. The great illusion ceases to be an illusion anymore when you see the charisma of a being who lives in that charisma. We cannot live in our ideal human body, in our ideal self, because it is beyond illusion. Our ideal is beyond a changeability. It is the everlasting, that which is forever and ever the same, and that's what we aim at. We look past the great illusion, we look past this human body, and we look into our inner self, and we say, I am peace. I am love. I am wholeness. Are those muscles and nerves? Are those hairs and follicles? Are those cells of our body? They transcend that. They go so far beyond that, that they're untouchable. They're inconceivable. They're almost unbelievable. But yet, the great beings who have walked the face of this earth, and who walk the face of this earth today, are the ones who live in their charisma, who live in their original purity and their original integrity. And they're the ones who know who they are, and they know why they are, and they know that they can be all that they are, and yet they don't even think about it. They do not think about being who they are. They do not think about being the why and the of and the allness of who they are. They do not think of their original purity and integrity. They just are it. And as they are it, then truly the great illusion of being human sort of fades away from their sight, your sight, the world's sight. And all we know is there are beings that are magical. There are beings that are wonderful. There are beings that we would love to emulate. There are beings that we feel set the pattern, set the mold for all that is good and beautiful and wonderful. And we would like to be that being. And we can be that being when we choose for ourselves to live our life in such nobility that which we are indeed. This day, I call that forth in my life. This day, I call that forth in my world. This day, that is my reality. That this day, that is who I am. And I look at you and I say, that's who you are this day. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are that wonder, that magic, that being. Join with me in that awareness and know that I love you. I love you.